Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Peter is warning us about false teachers. He's told us quite a bit about them already in verses 1, 2, and 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2. In the last part of verse 3, he tells us something about their methods. How is it that they succeed in deceiving people and pulling people away from the truth? And he says they will exploit you and they will use deceptive words. So their methods involve, number one, exploitation, and number two, deception. And there's some overlapping there between those concepts, of course, because exploitation often has the idea of deception, and particularly when you understand the Greek word that is used here, which has the idea of misrepresenting something. So it is deception, but they exploit you and they deceive you. They misrepresent truth and they do it deliberately. Now, some people, of course, misrepresent truth because they don't know any better. Sometimes people will teach something, say something because they think it's right and it turns out to be wrong. I've certainly done that. I know I've done that. I will, more often than I would like to think, will say something, and then later I look at that again a little more carefully, and I say, uh-oh, I got that wrong. But it wasn't deliberate deception. I wasn't trying to deceive anybody. I wasn't trying to exploit anybody. My aim, my goal is always to teach the Word of God honestly, accurately, truthfully. But that's not the motive of false teachers. They have something very different in mind, and we need to understand that. As hard as it is to come to grips with that, we better understand that. And so we will explore it a little bit further on this Friday, January 16, as we gather together around the Word of God, doing so because we have radio listeners who are willing to help us financially. Well, back to verse 3. 2 Peter 2:3, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. They treat Christians as potential objects for profit. Every now and then we'll see something in the paper about, or the news, about somebody who organized a Ponzi scheme type of misrepresentation of an investment opportunity or something of that nature, and did it within their church very successfully within their church, because Christian people tend to believe what others are telling them, particularly if that other person claims to be a Christian, particularly if that person is a member of their own church. They let their guard down, and I understand that. I don't want to go around with a suspicious attitude toward everybody, even people in the church, even church members. But folks, you better have a certain level of guardedness, because counterfeit Christians will infiltrate for the purpose of deceiving. And you don't want to be deceived. You don't want to be deceived when it comes to financial matters, and what is even more critical is you don't want to be deceived when it comes to sound doctrine. That's even more important. But that's what they're going to do. They're going to treat Christians as if they are targets for manipulation and dishonest profit. And they will deceive you with deceptive words. The old King James said feigned words. We don't use that term very often anymore, and so it's good perhaps to have a updated one, but feigned words. The Greek word that underlies it is the word plastois. Deceptive words are plastois words. What does that sound like? Plastic. Plastic is something that can be easily molded in different shapes. Wax is that way. Clay, when it's soft, is that way. You can mold it one way if it's still soft. If it hasn't hardened yet, you can reshape it in another direction. And there are a lot of substances that can be handled that way. And that's the idea behind this. They will deceive you by molding words to suit the occasion. Again, their commitment is not to understanding what the Bible says and teaching you what it says. It is their purpose to manipulate the Bible, to mold the Bible to whatever best accomplishes their goal, which is to deceive you and to exploit you financially. And to accomplish that, they're going to do all kinds of things, including make up stories, claim miracles that have not really happened. It's probably been nearly 40 years ago now, but I remember a pastor in another city, large city, that had a big coliseum that would hold many thousands of people, and was visited by one of these famous faith healers. And this pastor told me that he had a member of his church that worked at the Coliseum that was a supervisor responsible for the crew that set up for various events. And in setting up for the event for this healer, they installed the equipment that the healer's advance team brought in the truck, which was, among other things, a metal plate that was put on the platform under a rug, but it was attached to an electrical source, and when a button was pushed, it emitted a mild electrical shock for the purpose of deceiving people. They'd be brought up there to obtain their healing that they were believing for and trusting this man who supposedly had the gift of healing for. And they would feel something running up through their body, not strong enough to do them harm, but strong enough for them to be aware of something unusual. And, of course, because they want to believe that that's the healing power of God, they would think that's exactly what it is. That's the Holy Spirit healing me. And they would go off claiming to be healed, only to learn later, sadly, that their healing had reversed itself. Of course, they'd never had it to begin with. Deception. Deliberate deception. You say, I can't believe that people would do that. You better believe it. You better believe it. And something that's even closer to home, perhaps, is how many preachers and churches will manipulate statistics to appear to be more successful than they are. Attendance statistics and conversion statistics, how many people have been saved and so forth. And that's real important to some ministries. And that's one reason why evangelism many times is done in a very superficial and shoddy way, because the main goal is to enlist as many salvation decisions out of people as you possibly can, because we want to report big numbers and we want this year's report to be bigger than last year's report and so forth. There are a lot of parachurch organizations that do that. Some of them depend upon that for fundraising. They have a donor base of people who tend to invest where they think they can get the biggest bang for their buck. And they don't evaluate things very wisely, very biblically. They tend to believe the reports that are given to them. And so I'll support this ministry because they reported X number of conversions last year, as opposed to this ministry over here that didn't report any. Maybe they don't even make that a part of their report, or reported a much smaller number, maybe because they were more careful, more biblical, and more honest in their reporting. And so people will deceive you and exploit you for the purpose of raising money, exactly what Peter's talking about here. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. I see so much of this that I don't even know where to begin. I could give you specific examples, but I'm not going to do that. I hope you will take the principles and know how to apply them to specific situations. But please understand that God demands truth from His people. God demands truth from churches. God demands truth from preachers. God demands truth from missionaries. God demands truth from evangelists. God demands truth from Christian ministries. If we can't be counted on to be truthful, then frankly, we are part of the problem. We're not the solution. We're not helping the kingdom of Christ. We're not helping to bring people into the kingdom of God. We're not helping to get the gospel out and apply it to people. If we are not people of truthfulness and integrity, then we are those who need to be rescued. We are those who need to be changed by the power of God's word. We are those who need to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus so that we live lives of honesty and truthfulness in every area of our life. Just because it is a Christian ministry does not mean that it is okay to fudge the numbers. Boy, this pragmatism, the end justifies the means. If it'll help us to raise money, if it'll help us to reach more people, if it'll help us to reach our goal, then it's okay to fudge on the truth. No, it is not. Never. Ever. You are acting like a false teacher. People who understand this are going to identify you as a false teacher. Are you? Well, you would say you're not. Well, you're acting like one. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be me. Don't let that be my church. Don't let that be my ministry. Honesty, integrity, handling the Word of God truthfully, faithfully. If we aren't people of integrity, we aren't anything. That's where it begins. Then we go on from there to build on that, to build on a proper understanding of God's Word and delivering God's Word faithfully as it ought to be. But we've got to start on that foundation of honesty and integrity. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.